Come on, somebody.
How we doing this morning? I heard two people over here. How we doing this morning? We doing good? Y'all sure we doing good? Are we blessed? Huh? Are we blessed? Huh? I love it. It's such a fine morning. It's beautiful outside. It's supposed to be 73 degrees today. God is so good. All right. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Why? Because the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Sing it with me now.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come, when we go.
We cast down
every stronghold.
I can't live.
You can take everything, God, and I will only have you, and I'll have everything. I'll have everything, cause I can't live. Cause I can't live without you. Father, Savior, hey, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, hey, yeah. Hallelujah,
Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you in here right now, Lord Jesus. Now, if you just lift your hands and just let him work on your heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. The ground began to shake, the soul was rolled away. Be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? For our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he lift your arms up right now and get ready to receive whatever God's going to implant in your spirit this morning.
Don't wait for
for one of the ministers to come up to you. You can get whatever you need by the Spirit of God right now. You don't need someone to lay hands on you. All you have to do is raise your hands and say, Spirit of God, I receive what you have for me this morning. Go ahead and draw from the Spirit this morning.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here. If you would like just a fresh touch from God, I'd like you to lift your hands up this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that I've seen so many great things from you. Lord, and I ask in Jesus' name that the blanket of the Holy Ghost will fall on this room. In Jesus' name. Lord, let the anointing be so tangible, so touchable, so present, so powerful, that, Lord, every need we have in our lives will be touched by heaven. God, we thank you that you are not a religion, but you are alive and well. And that, God, you seek to those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And this morning, Father, we want you to know we love you. Come on, tell him. Tell him you love him this morning. Tell him you love him this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, that you are so powerful and so real. And yet you care so much about every single thing we deal with in life. Lord, today in Jesus' name, God, we position ourselves for increase anointing. Thank you, God, for each one have experienced you in a different way. But God, we want more. So Holy Spirit, bring us to a new place in you. Lord, I remind you of the prophecies over your house. That the anointing will be so strong, it'll be just like a deluge as the ceiling would bust loose from a flood. God, miracles and signs and wonders will occur. Lord, your prophet said that. You spoke that, God, to us. Lord, you know our hunger. It's definitely not for religion. It's for you. So, Lord, hear our hearts. We want you to show yourself grand. You to show yourself great. You are the master and you are the king. And we honor you this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Come on, just take a few moments. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you. Maybe you've never listened to God before, but now listen to him. He's in the room. We just worship you this morning, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. Ah, sweet God. We honor your name. Beapote Nisha. Hallelujah. Maybe this is new for you. That's all right. It's how you learn right here. It's how you learn. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory, glory, Father. You are holy and high and lifted up. Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord, speak. Preto maro lucuru bota. Dere de bola la mosha. You sweet God. Jesus. There it is. Come on. Receive, 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 receive. The anointing. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Robala ramo shalama kurehe. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Nerarabo shalama rebere. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Rabalara morondre besha. We honor you, Father. We honor you, Father. We honor you, Father. We honor you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 Rebe bayendolo korabasha. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Holy. Baro mamora kalana mama mama mashala na bolana boturi beterni le 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 ana na bolana. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that many times, especially if you're new in a church, you're not sure what's going on in the first place. Let me explain some things to you. I think it's important for you to learn. See, this is not our church. This is His church. And see, this is not our service. This is His service. And God loves to bless you. He loves to touch you right where you're at. Now, a lot of times, if someone knocks on the door of your house, if you don't open that door, no matter if they're your mother, your father, your best friend, and they have $1 million in their pocket to give you, you're never going to get that $1 million out of that pocket because you don't open the door. And in the services, what God wants to do is He wants to open your heart. And then He can pour in far more than $1 million, man. Because let me tell you something. Money disappears quickly. But what God can do in your life can change you in a moment of time. So what the Holy Spirit does, He longs. Every Sunday morning, God wants to pour Himself out in a strong manner. And a lot of times we look at the praise and worship team. Boy, they did a really good job this morning. But it really has nothing to do with praise and worship. Because you can do it without any music. This is about learning how to foster the atmosphere of heaven. And so what you've been doing this morning, some of you have been doing, some of you have been just watching, and that's cool too. Because it doesn't matter whether you stand or sit. It's not your outward posture that matters. It's your heart that matters. Some people cry in the presence of the Lord. Some people shout in the presence of the Lord. Some people go quiet in the presence of the Lord. Some people want to sit in the presence. It doesn't matter the posture of your body. It matters the posture of your heart. But what God longs for is to go, I call it the gush. My team makes fun of me because I use these words. Have you ever seen a gush? It's just like whoosh. I just love the gush of God. Ever been in a place where, you know, you're chilly, you're cold, and someone comes and puts a heavy coat on you, and it's heavy, but it's like, wow, that feels so good. I grew up in Massachusetts, and I remember our house where I grew up, you could literally, in the winter, I could lay in my bed and go like this, and I would see my breath in the bedroom. And we had, I'm not exaggerating, I probably had like 8 blankets. My grandmother knitted, crocheted 2 of them, thick Afghans. I'd have them on my bed, and I'd climb in under those sheets And the heaviness of the blankets would be just so beautiful. And that's what God wants to do. Sometimes he comes in a blanket form. Sometimes like a coat. Sometimes it will feel like oil being poured from the top of your head. You'll feel all the way down to the bottom of your feet. And sometimes you'll feel nothing at all. And you'll say, well, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes you don't feel anything. Because it's not about feelings. It's about the tangible presence of God. And so being in this right here. Being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Whether you feel anything or not. Whether you like it or not. God's working in your life. But the more you open the door, the more he can change your life. So I want to challenge you. Don't just come to church to come to church. Because it can get really religious and boring, even in a Pentecostal church. What makes a difference is when we allow the Holy Spirit to do his thing, because this is his church. Amen? And he can change us where we are. How many of you look back, maybe you've been born again a year or more, how many of you look back and see that you're a different person than you were when you first got saved? Amen? How many thank God for that? How many of you are a little messed up? And the presence of the Holy Spirit. I just sense him again. Get ready. Here comes another gush of the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release your power and your presence in this room. In Jesus' name. Just like a wave, God, just like a wave, wave across your congregation of your people. Lord, show them, touch them. Lord, make it valid and real to them, God, that you are alive in their life this morning. I just heard God saying while we were worshiping, he is almighty. He is all powerful. There's nothing he cannot do. He can open the Red Sea. He can turn bitter water into sweet. But yet he is so powerful, but yet he is so caring and loving. Like a mother would hold a brand new baby in her arms. Father God desires to hold you and show you that he cares for every need in every situation. That you would, as a baby would cry, a mother would run. A father would run to take care of the need. And so Father God so loves you as his children that he longs to meet every need and to show you that you are cared, you are loved, and you are held. Father, I pray for just that revelation to come to the hearts of the people of God this morning. That, Lord, we will see you as not a religion, not as church, but we will see you as truly the loving Father that you are, as a hen would want to gather the chicks. Lord, we love you so very much, and thank you for the honor and the privilege of continuing to be in your presence. Lord, not just because we're in church, but because you inhabit the praises of those who love you. Thank you, Father. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Why don't you welcome 4 or 5 people this morning on the way back to your chair. Let them know how much you love God. Come on now. Find somebody you don't know. You don't have to be a butterfly. You can just turn around and say, well, good morning. I sense the presence of God this morning.
Favor. Late in the midnight hour, Ladies, stop by the Ministry Center today and pay for your reservation for the Women's Brunch. The event is Saturday, May 7th. Adult tickets are $20. Children 6 to 10-year-old is $11, and children under 5 are free. This is an awesome opportunity to honor the special women in your life. Stop by today and make your reservation.
I have an awesome opportunity for you to partner with Uproar Conference. We've broken it down. It costs about $50 per student, and we're so excited that you can play a massive part in this conference for years to come. What does that mean? That means $5, $10, $20 a month would be going towards conference to support a teenager. What you'd spend on Dunkin' one day, instead you're going to put it aside for conference. Everyone has an amazing opportunity to see a teenager's life change forever. So we would love to partner with you and your family. You can meet us right out front in the foyer after this service, and we'd love to get this started off.
Hey, HT, Randall here. Want to invite you guys out this April 30th at 7 p.m. to our night of prayer. It's going to have a time of worship with you. We're going to have a time of prayer, and Pastor Redner is going to be bringing an awesome word by the Spirit of God, so I cannot wait. But you don't want to miss out on this supernatural encounter that will take place in your life. 7 p.m., Saturday night, April 30th. We'll see you there.
Praise the Lord. My wife said that I have to be quick and not lollygag. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If you're a guest, first-time guest this morning, we'd love to celebrate you. We're not going to make you stand or embarrass you. But if you're a first-time guest this morning, if you could lift your hands, we just want to celebrate you. If you're a first-time guest, oh, young man over there, very good. Anybody else? First-time guests. I know there's more than that. Oh, look at that whole row. Very good. First-time guests right over here. If you did not, any are there any more first-time guests? I know there must be. Hallelujah. If you did not get a visitor's packet with a mug in there, a gift for you, we would love to be able to give that to you. If you did not get one, if you just slide your hand up, we want to make sure that we get you. Now, we've had people that have been here 10 years that want a mug, and it won't work. You can't raise your hand and get a mug. Amen. We want to also welcome all of those that are live streaming with us. We have a whole family online that are all over the nation and all over the world. Can we give our live stream online campus a hand clap this morning? Hallelujah. We also want to... Is that Jay Parmeter with a tie? Dear Lord, what am I going to do? Jesus, help us all. I almost got saved there. Glory to God. I want to say thank you so much. This last week we had our pastors' conference. Can you believe that? I said we had our pastors, Empowering Pastors Conference this last week. Pastor Tommy Barnett was with us. Glory to God. He loves coming here. I love having him. He's such a great man of the Spirit, 78 years old, over 63 years of ministry experience, was speaking into the pastors that came as far as Kentucky and all the way from Massachusetts. We also want to thank God for Brother DiMaggio, came all the way from Seattle. Was it Seattle? No, Portland, Oregon. So he was here with us. And I had the privilege of speaking to the pastors this year. We had one pastor actually come up and say, I was getting ready to leave the ministry, but because of this conference, I'm going to stay in the ministry and serve God. Now, listen, in 2 years, that means four pastors we have saved. The Lord has used this house to keep four pastors from leaving the ministry. Come on, you need to give yourself a hand clap this morning. Give God a shout this morning. Amen? So we're excited that today God is just blessing us. And he's pouring out his Spirit. We are a blessed people. Can I hear an amen?
Amen. Amen. We're entering into the time of tithes and offerings. And I want you to know that your money is important to God. Not because he needs it, but because you need it. And he is so interested in your finances and how it runs that he talks more about money than any other topic in the Bible. 500 times in the New Testament it talks about faith, 500 times it talks about prayer, 2,000 times it talks about your money. It's kind of an important thing. 36 of his parables, 16 of them were regarding your finances. Your finances are so important to God. And it is important, the attitude that we give our finances with. You know, we are truly blessed in this house to have a house that has a covering of prosperity and increase in it. You know, when our team went down to Texas, they had a business owner that was getting ready to throw in the towel, came up for prayer, and the next day her competition came to her and wanted to give her their business. Give her, that's the covering that you sit under in this house. That's where you are positioned for increase in this house. It is such an awesome thing to be able to give in fruitful ground. And God is so interested in your finances. There's somebody else that's interested in your finances, the enemy of your soul. He would love to keep you closed off to your giving. He'd like for you to feel pressured in your giving. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy and keep you under the curse. But God wants to set you free and bless you and prosper you in all things. I can't stand when I hear people say that they are against the prosperity doctrine, because you cannot open your Bible and read and be against the prosperity gospel. It is all through the Bible. So open it up and read it if you don't agree with prosperity. Your Father in heaven desires you to prosper in all areas of your life. So this morning, we have the opportunity to participate with Kingdom Finances. Let's stand to your feet as we give our tithes and offerings. Hold on.
Now, when you come up to receive to give your tithes and offerings, we want everyone to grab a seed, and we want everyone to grab a cup. So that means everyone needs to come up. So whether you have anything to give or not, pull the lint out of your belly button and put it in and say, next week I'll have something to sow. But we have a gift for everybody, and it goes right with the message. So everyone needs to come, not a few. Everyone needs to come on up and grab a cup and a seed and a cup of dirt. Amen. I believe it's coming. It is coming. Very good. Hey, do you know what's interesting? As Pastor, what was your name? Rhonda was saying. 26 years married.
50 last week. We can't
play. Hey, be nice. What's very interesting is, you know, the devil has never been a formidable foe for the saint. I need you to say that. Actually, the greatest enemy of the Christian, and the Lord says it, you cannot serve both God and mammon. The greatest enemy of the Christian, of the saint, is money. It's more powerful than the devil. Thank you, honey. It's interesting. You're going to hear that. You're going to hear a whole sermon on this. It's going to be really exciting when you start recognizing the power that finances have in people's lives, because it literally controls every fiber of your being. It really does. Everyone, how many of you go to work? And you don't care about the paycheck. Oh. Everyone cares about the paycheck. Why? Because you're not doing it for fun. Now, you might like your job, but you're still not doing it for fun. You're doing it for a paycheck. And it's amazing how our lives are propelled. What I'm wasting time is what I'm doing. What our lives are, we waste time. We give away time. We do something with time. As we're waiting. They're not ready? All right, we'll have them passed out to you. Can we bring the seeds out? Have them bring the seeds out. Just the seeds. Come on, honey. Come on down here. You need to go on that side. Yep, we'll do that. Actually, I have her do that because if I fall, she can catch me. So you're going to come and you're going to come and grab a seed, okay? What we have in this is all different types of seed, not corn, all different types. So make sure you grab a seed when you come. Can you go tell them I need the seeds right now? The seeds are a breeze. They're all just open the package. It's good to have you. Now, you're living in North Carolina now, huh? South Carolina. Well, we're glad to have you home today. Amen. Are you ready? We're going to shout, give our blessing. Shout it out loud. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. Come on now, the blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. We'll bring the seed to you.
We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness, and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come,
when we go.
We cast down every stronghold,
sickness and poverty must cease.
For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
One more time, sing late in. Hey.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around
and around.
And around,
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 and around.
When we come,
when we go,
we
cast down every struggle, sickness and poverty must cease.
For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. Hey, it's gonna work in your favor. Sing it with me.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
It's
gonna work in your favor.
Hey, and one more time.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
And around,
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 and around.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am excited that Jesus is alive. You know, I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God will heal you even while today you're sitting in your chair. How do I know that? Because Psalms 107 says that God, he said, I sent my word to heal you. The word is Rapha. Heal is the word Rapha. Everybody shout Rapha. That means that's the name of God in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, verse 20. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the God that Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. God loves to heal you. So even while you're sitting there listening to the word today, I ask that you ask the Holy Spirit to heal your body, to heal your mind. God will heal you right while the word is being preached. This is the year of... Oh, that was so weak. I said, this is the year of... Kingdom seed. We went through last year. You know, some people say, Pastor, you say that every week. You know why? Because we have guests every week. And can you imagine going to a movie? How many of you saw Star Trek? How many of you have seen the first one? That means you're old. Hallelujah. I never saw any of the Star Trek. And my father-in-law came out to visit me one day. And we went to the movie. This is about seven or eight years ago. We went to a Star Trek movie, and I'm sitting there going, I have no stinking clue what this thing is about. You know, I had no idea. Well, why? Because I came in as things were progressing. And I want to remind you that the way we preach at His Tabernacle is line upon line, precept upon precept. We're not just preaching a unique word every single week. We are building week after week. Why? Because the word needs to be built upon. Can I hear an amen? The word is our foundation. So this is the year of kingdom seed, kingdom. Seek ye first the, seek ye first the, not church, not religion, not denomination. Seek ye first the. So if you do not know what the kingdom is, then you cannot seek it first. So all last year we talked about what the kingdom was. Now, if you do not know what the kingdom is, I challenge you, you can get them free online. You can go to our website, histabernacle.com, go to the sermons, go to archives, and you can see all of last year's messages. Or we have packets of DVDs out in the foyer that you can purchase and have for your house so that you can ingest and get in your spirit what the kingdom is. We must know the kingdom. And in the kingdom, there are principles. There are keys, as Jesus said, keys to the kingdom. Not one set of keys, but a multiplicity of keys. Keys that allow you to open up kingdom law, kingdom government, kingdom principles that will act beyond the natural and will live within the supernatural. You see, that's who you are. Turn to someone and say, I'm supernatural. And that is absolutely true. If you're born again, shout, I am. If you're born again, then the Spirit of God dwells within you, that you are now a child, a citizen of heaven itself. That means that you are supernatural. Turn to somebody and say, I am supernatural. In that, we live not according to the natural only, but we are governed by the supernatural. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. So we're bringing heaven to earth by you and I being citizens. We are the salt and the light, being able to bring the principles of heaven to earth through you. Turn to someone and say, you're a key. Tell somebody else you're a key. One of the principles that we've been handling this year is seed. Everything you need is in the seed. We went through the seed of what? The seed of time. How every one of us have 168 minutes, hours a week. How you seed your time is who you are. You are today the collection of the seed of time that you have placed. If you say, well, I want to start a business, but you put no time in it, how much business are you going to have? If you say you want a relationship with God, but you never read the Bible, pray, you never come to church, how much of a relationship with God are you going to have? Listen, if you say you love your wife, but you spend no time with your wife, you kick your children to the corner and you go hang out at the local bar, how long are you going to have a wife? You see, this is the reality of what we're looking at. Time is a seed. We also went through thoughts being a seed. As a man thinks, so he. I said, as a man thinks, so he. You are the total of your thoughts. Actually, you and I are living out today what our thoughts are and who we believe we are. I want to read the verse for you. It's Psalms 103. It's our verse for the year, and it says this. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall never wither. Turn to someone and say, my leaf will never wither. And whatever he does shall fail. Whatever he does shall prosper. What does prosper mean? Prosper means to increase. Well, I don't believe in that prosperity gospel. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You believe in it or you wouldn't eat. You believe in it or you would not go and ask for a raise at work. You'd be fine living in a box. How many of you wouldn't mind living in a box? I know the children raise their hands. They like living in boxes, cardboard boxes. The fact is that God wants you to prosper. Why? Because if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. The more God can learn how to prosper in the biblical principle to where it's, yes, we can enjoy it, but the purpose for prosperity is to be a blessing to other people, to be a blessing for the kingdom of God. You see, I'm believing the Lord for a multiplicity of millionaires within our church. Why? Because we need millionaires in our church to help fund the next level of ministry. I'm believing God that even today, that somebody watching by live stream has a vision and God ministers to their heart about giving a large sum. I've already been praying that those who are watching, we have over between 3,000 and 5,000 people watching the television program each week. I'm believing, God, that one of them is going to write a $1 million check. Why? I want to pay this building off. Can I hear an amen? I want to pay this building off so we can build the next one and house more souls for Jesus. I personally don't want to have two services on a Sunday morning. I'd like to have one and we can make it as long as we want. This morning I want to share with you something very simple, yet absolutely profound. Today I'm not going to be long. That's why I babble a little. I'm going to be short, 2 hours, I promise. But I believe, as the Lord, I had a whole message put together that is scientific again, where we're going next. I was real excited and studying it out and getting all the scientific proof of what I was going to share with you concerning dirt. But the Lord said to me, I was laying in bed last night and I was a little jittery. My wife said, what's your promise? I can't preach that tomorrow. She says, well, why not? I said, I don't know. It's horrible because, listen now, I don't come up here out of a book and just say, well, you know something, I'm going to pick page 143 and preach that message to the church. I actually want to hear the voice of God for what he wants to speak to you, because my voice doesn't matter. God's voice matters. Can I hear an amen? They're passing the seeds out. Take one. Pass it down, please. Whatever seed you want, don't take more than one. Psalms 139, verse 14 is the verse that I want to preach out of this morning, and it says this: I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. I find that it's a unique position we find in our world today. How many people do not believe that they're important? How many believers, how many Christians, how many of those who have called themselves sons and daughters of God, they have no value in their life in the aspect that God really believes in you? Turn to someone and say, God believes in you. Tell somebody else, God believes in you. You see, a lot of us say, I want to believe in God, I don't want to go to hell. And that's nice, but you need to know that God believes in you. God believes in who you are called to be. God believes in the seed that you are. How many of you recognize, just as all the seeds that he created on this planet, you too are a seed for this planet. God has placed you here specifically at this time to do mighty works for him. You see, I want you to recognize you are not worthless, but you have amazing eternal value. Turn to someone and say, you have eternal value. To some, this is saying, wow, this is a really simple message. I've heard this one a lot. Let me tell you something. You can never hear this one enough. This world is picking away at our self-worth. This world is picking away at our value. This world is picking away because you're a Christian. They mock you. They laugh at you. They wonder what's wrong with you. But I'm here to tell you, you, as being a son and daughter of God, have the worth of heaven. For God said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I have called you to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You see, you and I are that tree that's planted by the water, where we are. Our roots are going to continue to grow. Our leaves will not wither. Our fruit will come. And whatever we do shall prosper. We need to hear that in our spirit, because so many times we deduce in our mind what our environment is saying to us. You and I are not governed by our environment. We're governed by the Word of God. I can't hear you. I said, you're not governed by your environment, your atmosphere. You're governed by the Word of God. I can't hear you. I said, you're not governed by your atmosphere or your environment. You're governed by the Word of God. You are supernatural people, and God, by his Spirit, has said, if you believe, you'll cast out devils, you'll speak with new tongues. If you touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. And when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You are a person called, anointed, and appointed by God himself, not to be some religious freak, but to be a son and daughter of heaven, to be the salt and a citizen of the Most High. And we represent glory while we walk on this earth. Can I hear an amen? See, this is who you are. And the world picks away at that. Maybe even your own brain picks away at that. But you must recognize and validate yourself in this truth. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God calls you marvelous, for you are the works of his hands. We are his workmanship. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, you are marvelous. Tell somebody else, you are marvelous. Today you need to recognize you were perfectly designed. I have found so many individuals that don't like themselves. It's not a few, it's a lot. They don't like who they are. They don't like, I'm talking born again. I'm talking blood wash. I'm talking people that have been changed by the power of Jesus' name. Their sins are washed away, but they don't even like themselves. And I'm here to tell you, you've got to hear what God has to say about you. You are not just fearfully and wonderfully made. You have been perfectly designed by heaven itself. Before God ever said, let there be light, before you were ever formed, he knew you. He planned you. He purposed you. He has a destiny sitting inside of you. You are not just here to suck air, but you are here to do the mighty works of heaven. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are called, and God has a perfect design for your life. You see, if God, he said, listen, don't worry about anything. You know, the birds of the air, you know, they don't spin nor toil, but I watch them. He says, I even count the hairs on you. If God is so interested enough to count the hairs on your head, then you know how important you are to him. You are so valuable to heaven. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says this, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And so it was. Everybody shout, so it was. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb that yields seed according to its kind and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. All seed encapsulates its DNA. You see, when you and I got saved, we don't live in the DNA of our past, for old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're not sitting back in the old seed that was sitting back and mildewed, but we are now the sons and daughters of God. We now encapsulate the DNA of heaven. We now can live according to the government of the glory of God. We can now live according to kingdom principles. You and I, we hold forth on this planet the seed of heaven. And this is why the church has lost momentum, even in America. Why? Because the saints have stopped being the seed. They're sitting back and getting mildew. They're sitting back and doing nothing. But God has called you to be planted. You see, as every seed was designed according to Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 and 12, the one thing I want you to recognize, as you have seed in your hand, there's different types of seed. I do see a sun seed in there. I do see a corn seed in there. I don't know what else. I think I see a pea in there. I see, I don't know what that thing is. Don't eat your seed. That was very well stated. Each seed God created to reproduce itself. You see, the DNA is in the seed. When you and I recognize who we are, we can't walk around with our heads dragging on the ground. For God is living inside of us. The DNA of the king is living inside of us. You are kings and you are priests. You are ambassadors. You're not just some survivor waiting for God to hopefully swift you away. But you are truly magnificently powerful with God living inside of your life. Can I hear an amen? Psalms 139 verse 13 says this, oh yes, you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made. Bit by bit, how I was sculpted. Oh, I love that. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 says this, I know you think about all these things. Excuse me, all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all different, but similar, parts arranged and functioning together. If a foot says, I'm not elegant like a hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to the body, would it make it so? Absolutely not. If an ear would say, I'm not as beautiful as an eye, lip and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you remove it from your body? We know that's no. If the body was all eye, could it hear? If it was all ear, could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. Turn to someone and say, I think you're a little unique. Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you'll bring us to the place of truly seeing us through your eyes. Lord, we have gone through troubles and trials and tribulations, and some of our past, Lord God, are CD. But God, I thank you that we placed ourselves in a new garden. And that, Lord, today you can change us from the inside out. Lord, you can change how we think about ourselves. You can change how we perceive. For as a man thinks, so he is. God, we captivate. We bring into arrest every thought and imagination that raises itself up against God. And we ask that you will show us that, Lord, we will not walk in pride, but true humility, and walk in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That the gospel will be preached and that souls will be saved. Lord, I thank you for those that are fearfully and wonderfully made in this room. Turn to someone and say, you are unique. I'm almost done. I want to show you a keynote real quickly. It's a really cool thing. When we start recognizing the diversity of seed and the power of seed, you see, we're talking about kingdom seed this year. And in kingdom seed, there is a truth about each seed that God has made is different. Turn to the person next to you and say, I think you're different. Now, if you're married, you know that's true. It's amazing when you recognize the diversity of seeds that God has created. Here we go to the next. This is what? This is called a what? A mustard seed. Jesus said, if you have this, the faith of a seed of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. What's amazing about the mustard seed, it's an extremely small seed, but when it is planted in good ground, what does it produce? It produces an amazing tree. Jesus talked about that tree, how birds of the air can nest in it, how it will feed and take care of people. The next one is an apple. How many of you recognize that an apple seed, how many of you have ever eaten an apple seed? Well, you have a tree growing in your stomach. That's what I was taught when I was a child. An apple seed is so powerful because you put it in the ground. Listen, whenever you place a seed in the ground, you don't look at the DNA. You're not breaking it open and going, DNA. But you know you're planting apple seeds. And then you plant it, and as it continues to grow, what do you see? You see the fruit thereof. The next is a corn seed. What's amazing is you plant one piece of corn. I forget how many kernels. Where are you? How many kernels? 830 some odd kernels come from one corn seed. The banana. How many of you have ever eaten a banana? How about grass? How many of you have ever eaten grass? Don't raise your hand. That wouldn't be good. It's amazing how small grass seed is, but when you plant grass seed, how many of you recognize what it produces in your yard? Now, our neighbor is really intense with their yard. I'm not. If you run across my yard, you might trip and fall into a hole. Glory to God. But my neighbor, they hire that company that comes in and they spray the yard and they make sure there are no weeds in the yard and it is perfect height all summer long. And I look at that yard and I say, that is a beautiful yard. But it's still grass. You see, grass, when it is planted, produces something that we call beautiful. How many of you still have brown grass? How many of you got beautiful green lush grass already? That came from a seed. Life is in the seed. How about the burning bush? This is my favorite bush, a burning bush. I love these. I love to buy these. Why? Because they are so gorgeous in the fall. They look like they've erupted with that red, beautiful fire color that God created them with. And you see, then we have what's called an oak tree seed, which is we call an acorn. And it produces a tree that is massive, that you can rest under, that you can play in, that you can... Well, I don't know if you've ever eaten an acorn. It's really not that good. I did try one. The yellow acorns, they were bad. But it's beautiful to see what can happen in the middle of that tree. And then we have another one. It's called the raspberry seed. How many of you love raspberries? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Love raspberries. The raspberry seed produces a raspberry bush. And on the raspberry bush is the elegance of having raspberries. Glory. All these are just different types of seed that I just wanted to show you. But here's the interesting part. And this is where you've got to recognize how important you are, how special you are, how unique you are. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're not important. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're insignificant. You have been so uniquely made by God, and He has placed you at this time and season on this planet right here in this region. Why? Because God's got a design for you. He's got a plan for you to feed people, to shelter people, to bless people, to encourage people, to strengthen people. Your life is imperative to the kingdom of God. We talked about mustard seeds. Do you realize there are three types of mustard seeds, not just one? Do you realize there are 7,500 types of apple seeds? There are six types of corn seeds, 1,000 variety of bananas, in 50 different groups. There's 11,369 types of grass. No, not this grass. Grass. There are 5 burning bush seeds. 600 different kind of oak seeds. And 4 variety of seeds with raspberries. You see, we just look at them and we think, well, that's an oak tree. That's nice. That was created by an acorn. And sometimes we have people look at us and we're unique. How many of you recognize you might be a little bit unique? How many of you might be just downright strange? The Bible calls you peculiar. We look at an apple tree and we think of a seed, but how many have recognized there were 7,500 different types of apple seeds, which shows the diversity of God. It shows the love of God. It shows that He has so much available for us, not just one thing available for us, but a multiplicity. And every person in this room, you are the seed of heaven. Every single person in this room, God plans you. Every single person in this room has the DNA, the footprint of God flowing through you when you became born again. No matter how unique you are, no matter how peculiar you are, no matter how strange you might be, even to others, you need to recognize how important you are to the plan of heaven. You are not an accident. He said, you knew me from the inside and out. You knew me in every... Listen now, if God wanted me to be taller, I'd be taller. Jesus loves picking strange folk. Look at Peter. Peter had foot-mouth disease where his foot was not in his mouth. It was down his throat, tickling his stomach. He had problems. One minute, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ. I'm sure he'd be dead. Christ. Oh, come on. You got to practice it with me. Ready? Thou art the Christ. The next chapter, what does Jesus say to Peter? Peter says, no one's going to kill you, Jesus. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter had issues with foot-mouth disease, but yet he was the one that God said and called him Petra. God started working on his character, and God created a man who was able to preach the very first message in the book of Acts. And that day, the church was launched with 3,000 men. I want you to know that God can take anybody and make you somebody. Can I hear an amen this morning in Jesus' name? You are special to the house and the hand of God. Andrew was a quiet man who was a behind-the-scenes man. But you know what? He was crucified. And when he was crucified for his faith in Christ, he led the soldier to Jesus. How about Paul? They said he was a short, fat, bald guy. He was very zealous. He was passionate. He was learned. He wasn't dumb. He had been to the colleges. He was trained by one of the second greatest men of all of Israel in the knowledge of the Word of God. He was a man that, man, when he touched it, he was going to bowl it over. It didn't matter what you did. And God used him so passionately. You know what? That day in Acts chapter 9 when he met Jesus, hallelujah. You see, when you meet Jesus, everything changes. I didn't say religion. I didn't say church. But when you meet Jesus, everything changes. And that day that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his life transformed. Not only was he still passionate, but he was the one, he wrote 13 books out of the New Testament. How about me? No one would ever have thought I would have ever gone to Bible school. Literally, bets went down how quickly I was going to get kicked out of Zion Bible Institute. Oh, I'm not lying. I'm outspoken, energetic, fun-loving, a phenomenal singer. You see, we look at ourselves through our eyes, but he looks at us through his eyes. And what nobody could see who I would ever be and what God would ever do through me, he saw it before he said, let there be, and there was. Once the DNA of heaven gets in you, once you start yielding your life, once you start surrendering who you are and allowing him to water the tree by the Holy Ghost, allowing him to mature you, allowing him to prune you, allowing him to bring forth fruit in your life, I want you to recognize what will happen. You will no longer be just a you. You will be generational, for every single tree brings forth its fruit, and every bit of fruit has its own seed within the fruit. It's the DNA inside itself, and when that is dropped to the ground and it dies all over again, that surrendered piece of fruit will bring forth a seed, will bring forth a new tree, will bring forth a new bush, and it will bring forth more fruit. You see, you cannot see yourself the way you used to see yourself. You cannot think about yourself the way you used to think. This is not who you are. Who you are is who Christ says you are. And you've got to have a transition of your mind. You've got to start believing that if God saw you worthy, then you are worthy. Can I hear an amen? And if God can change Peter, you and I are easy. You see, this is where I believe we're going to end. Because God wouldn't have given me this message, changed up my whole day, if somebody wasn't dealing with this. You're struggling with your worth. You're struggling with your value. Where do I fit? Where do I belong? I know where I fit in the world. I know I've got a job and I'm successful at what I do. But where do I fit in the kingdom? What is my call from heaven? What is my eternal destiny? For if my only worth is generating income, living in a house and producing a few kids, if that's all my job is, if that's all my eternity is, then it's a wasted eternity. You are far more. You are far more. Well, I don't feel like that. Well, that's what God wants to change today. God wants to start changing your mind. Today, while you were sitting there, this is what was happening supernaturally. The Word of God was transforming your mind. There were collisions that were happening while I was preaching. The collisions were thoughts from the past of who you used to believe you were. And the collision was who God says you are. It's time to start believing who God says you are. It's time to start kicking the devil in the teeth and tell him to sit down and be quiet. Can I hear an amen? Because your worth is amazing. Turn to someone and say, I have great worth. You know what's amazing is you know you struggle when you have a hard time saying that to somebody. You know you need prayer this morning when you have a difficult time saying that to somebody. I want you to turn to someone and say, I am a person of great worth. If you struggle with that, then today God wants to start touching you. Oh, pastor, we don't want to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I honestly, truthfully, there are people like that. But there's far more people that aren't that. There are far more people that have been so wounded that they don't feel any value at all in their life. And today, God wants to plant a new seed in you. He wants to erect a new tree in you. He wants to bring new fruit in your life. Fruit of phenomenal value, because that's truly who you are. Amen? What's the word I want to use? Oh, man. Let me tell you what I want to say. You are not your past. That's the word. You are not defined by your past. You are not defined by the foolish things you did in the past. You're not defined by your hair line. You're not defined by your stomach line. You're not defined by your height. You're not defined by your years. You're defined by the Word of God. You shall be like a tree planted by the water, whose fruit will come in its season. Hallelujah. Whose leaf will never wither. And whatever he touches shall prosper. That's who you are. Can I hear an amen? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I just want to pray with you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never accepted him before as your Lord, or maybe you're in a backslidden condition and you're not sure right now if you took your last breath that you'd go to heaven, you need your worth reestablished in heaven. Today, if you do not know Christ or you're in a backslidden condition, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to pray with you, get you back to your purpose, back to your destiny, back to the direction that Christ has for you. If that's you, come on, raise your hand up this morning. You need Jesus Christ to wash your sins away. You want to be a child of God. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Thank you, sir, in the back. I see your hand. Very good. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, young man. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, 5, 4, come on, 3. You know, there are seasons you plant and seasons you harvest. And God has given you a season right now to plant your life. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I thank you for each one, Lord, who today will be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, they'll go from death to life. God, those that have been backslidden will run towards you with all their heart. Lord, I thank you that today, Lord, everyone in this room will walk around with a step in their gait this week, knowing that they have been planned and purposed and are unique by the hand of heaven. They are not an accident and will not be defined by their past, but will be defined by what you say and who you say they are. Lord, I thank you for each son and daughter in this room. Lord, I come against any assignment of the enemy in the name of Jesus who would try to derail them, try to discourage them. We disconnect the dis from the courage, and we command courage to rise in Jesus' name. And we'll do great things in your hands, great things in your might. Those who raise their hand for salvation, I want to meet you here in the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want you to step right out of your chair. Grab the person next to you if you need to. Meet me right up here right now. I want you to come right out of your chair. Come right on up here right now. Hallelujah. If this morning, if I could have the prayer team go across the front of the altar. This morning, if you're dealing with worth, you're dealing with what I was preaching about this morning. Young man, I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. Be brave. Be brave. Sometimes it takes bravery. Well, I thought I was just going to have to raise my hand. Well, you know what? When you got picked for the softball team, you had to go to one side or the other. Amen? We're talking about kingdom stuff. Today, if you're struggling with worth, I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. So this morning, if you're struggling with worth, I want you to raise your hand up this morning. I don't want to be embarrassed. Well, who cares what anybody's... Isn't that the bottom line? Who cares what anybody's thinking? Amen. Look at the hands going up. Being honest. Very good. We're going to dismiss the service, and I want you to find someone to pray with you. If I could have more of the prayer team calling them up, and I'm going to need the usher team and those that are here, that you need to come on up, and we're going to be praying for folks around the altar, believe in God. If you're our guest this morning, we'd love to meet you. Right on the side room, we have a guest reception. I'd love to meet you personally, my wife and I, and the rest of the team. We'd love to meet you. So if you'll leave here and go around and meet us in the guest reception room, we have some food and a little bit of fellowship. We'd love to meet you personally. Father, in the name of Jesus, those who come up today will be changed forever. I declare it in Jesus' name. Lord, the word will come alive in their spirit and transition them. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this awesome week that's going to happen in our lives. We're going to do great and mighty exploits for your name. Lord, lead many people to Jesus for the glory of God. And everybody said, amen. If you need prayer, come right out of your chair. You raise your hand. You need to be encouraged in the Lord. Come right out of your chair. Come around the front of the altar.